morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord on this Sunday morning in June. What a great time to be alive. And this generation seeing the things that we're seeing and seeing that our salvation is drawing nearer than when we first believe. It's exciting, even though I know we're going through some things in this world, but we don't need to fear. We need to know that everything that God said is coming to pass. And as Christians, our hearts should be full of joy because we know there's a day coming real soon when Jesus is going to come and take us away from this world. And we're going to be with him forevermore. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for that. I want to welcome you to Manifest Church stream. For those of you here, welcome to the service this morning. And those of you who will be watching through YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble, we're glad that you're with us. And maybe you're going to watch later. Feel free to share and subscribe to this so you continue to get notifications with the notification bell. And also, if you listen to us on the podcast, make sure to hit follow and share this message with through any platform of your liking. Go ahead and share this message with your family and friends that the kingdom of God may continue to, the gospel may continue to spread throughout the world. So we would appreciate your help with that. And share a comment with us. If God has spoken to you from this message today, share what God has spoken to your heart about. So we thank you. And once again, we welcome you to to this time together. It's good to be together. Last week, we took a break last week from the book of Daniel. We'll come back to it. I just sense a need to really go into this for this month of June. I'm going to try to finish up spiritual warfare. That's what we have been talking about. And if you remember last week, we started the series Spiritual Warfare. And as I mentioned to you last week, in the month of June, our enemy, Satan, the devil, has turned this month into a celebration for LGBTQ+. And I want you need to understand that they don't realize that this Pride Month, per se, if you look at that, Daniel has put that on the screen for me, you'll see how if you put the word together like it is, you can see demon in the middle of it. And they don't realize that this is a spiritual battle. They don't realize that they're under the people who promote and celebrate these lifestyles are under demonic influence. And in most cases, they don't even realize it. And so my goal is to teach you not to react to what is happening, but to act upon God's word. Too many times a Christian is reacting or instead of acting upon what God has already told us on his word, his truth. So my prayer today is not to worry about what they're doing. We need to remember that those who are practicing these lifestyles are under the devil's influence, and they are in captivity to their sin as we once were. So when you see this, even though it may be sinful and in your face, you need to understand that you at one time used to be in that condition. It may have not been in that type of lifestyle, but any other sin you were doing that was contrary to God, that was offensive to a holy God, you were doing that. And God, who is rich in mercy, rescued you. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we would take the gospel message to those who are out there, whether they're in this this particular lifestyle group that have chosen to go this way, or those who are living a lie, committing adultery or fornicating or lying or stealing, murderers. God has called us to preach the gospel to all men, that men may come to know him. So today, my intention is not to bash the sinner, because the sinner is going to do what sinner does. He sins. But it's to remind the church that we are to hold fast to the truths of God's word, even in the midst of a culture that rejects the Lord and his word. You need to understand that we live in a time where our culture has become secularized. In other words, they have rejected the creator and now are serving created things rather than the creator. And therefore, we can see the reprobate mind in the world and in our culture. We can see people doing things that at one time everyone would have been, this is not right. We should not be doing this. Why? Because we were more under a Judeo-Christian culture, even though not all the American people were Christians, but the majority were, and the majority of our institutions had Christians in it, and they were living out their faith as they govern and as they live their lives. And therefore, you can see that happening. But as we know, things have changed in our country. And unfortunately, it's not been for the best. It's been for the worst. And we're seeing this dynamic happening in the culture. And so we need God's help in this. We need to see him work on our behalf. So, again, my intention today is not to bash the sinner that's in the LGBT Pride Month that they're celebrating. That's not my intention here. It is to remind the church that we're to hold fast to God's truth, the truth of God's word, even in the midst of a culture that rejects the Lord and his word. And I'm here to remind you that you are in spiritual warfare. You are fighting a battle. You're not just living and existing. If you name the name of Jesus, if you confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you have committed your life to his service, then you belong to him. So I want to tell you this right now, that we need to turn to the Lord. And so that's right whether you realize it or not, it is a spiritual battle that we're in. And I want to encourage you to stand your ground, to stand in the Lord and be firm in who he is. You need to know the moment you accepted Christ, you entered the battle. You know, like Neo in the movie The Matrix, who through faith in Jesus Christ have taken the red pill and have been set free from the spiritual matrix that you were in. There was a matrix that you were in. You were not where you needed to be. And God, I can't see that. So the spiritual matrix is gone. You can't see what is happening. And what happens is you need to take the pill in order to be able to see. And so we thank God for his faithfulness. And we just want to continue to go forward in him. So let's pray and read 2 Timothy chapter 10, verse 3 and 6. This is where we are going to begin today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we come this morning to come into your presence because we need you, Lord. We cannot do this apart from you, God. Apart from you, we have no strength, Lord. We need your grace today. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way, Lord. Lord, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. And I pray for God's people who are here in this room, those who will watch and listen later, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. Transform their minds, Lord. Bring about your transformation. We need you, Lord. Fill me now, Holy Spirit. Empower me to preach the word of God as it should be preached. Without fear, without reservation, Lord, trusting that what you set your word out to do, it's going to accomplish, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so, let's continue. Be strong in the Lord is where I want us to look at. Let's read this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 6. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. This is our main text. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So here, this is where we started last week. This is our main text. This is where we're jumping off of. The Apostle Paul is letting the saints know at Corinth that the weapons that they fight with or that we fight with are not of this flesh, but they have divine power to destroy arguments, to destroy strongholds. And as I reminded you last week, strongholds are those things that are in your mind. Strongholds come into your mind. Strongholds are things that are built in their thoughts. And as I reminded you last week, the battle begins in your mind. How you think is how you're going to live out. And what you believe in your mind is how you're going to act out. And so you need to remember that. But today I want to take you now to another passage, because I want to talk about the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that we have in Christ, the weapons that we have to be able to fight this fight. And because without these weapons, we're not able to fight this battle. And so I want us to go there. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see the weapons that God has given us to be able to fight. And this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And we're going to through verse 20, because I don't like to stop in commas. So again, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Man, can you hear the passion? Can you hear the apostle, is his final words to the church in Ephesus, and his passion here in declaring that we have an armor that we're to put on? And I want to get into some of that at some point today. We're going to try to get there. I want you to see that to be strong in the Lord is the first thing. Before we can put on the armor, we need to understand we need to be strong in the Lord. See, before we get into the battle, we must first be strong in the Lord, as Ephesians 6:10 tells us, because we are mere human beings. We were made a little lower than the angels. You need to understand that we are flesh and blood. We're not supernatural beings in the sense of what an angelic being is. They are more powerful and stronger than us, and they were built that way. They were made that way by God because they are an army to fight for the Lord. And some of them have fallen because they have sinned against God and have joined Satan's rebellion. And therefore, they are serving their master, Satan. And as a result, we human beings encounter these spiritual forces in our time and in our realm, right? If we want to think about it, in the natural realm, we experience the influence of the spirit of this age, the Antichrist spirit that we've been talking about, that I've mentioned to you, and that we know one day the embodiment of the Antichrist will come here, I believe, soon in the future. We are seeing his kingdom being set up in this world. Not to chase that rabbit, but we are human beings, and we were made a little lower than the angels. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verses 3 to 5, it says, "When I looked at the heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Man, it's, you got to understand what an awesome privilege we have as human beings. You know that angels long to be able to worship like we do? They don't understand it. And God has made us the highest form of his creation. He didn't create the angels in his image and likeness. He created man in the image and likeness of God. He created us. And so in that understanding, though, but we're still flesh and blood. We're not God at all. We're just created in his image. And so As human beings, we do not have the strength to defeat demonic spirits on our own strength. We don't have it. We don't have the power to come against a demonic spirit, a fallen angel who is in someone's life, possessing them, one who is influenced. We don't have the strength in our own ability, in our own natural self, to stop and defeat our enemy. And this reminds me of a story in Acts chapter 19. I want to take you there. Go with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16. I want you to see this moment, I want to correct that. I want to take you to an account in Acts chapter 19. I want to say that because in our time, the times we live in, people equate the word story with fairy tale. This is a real moment, a real account that happened in history. Acts 19, verses 13 through 16, I believe. And it says here, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus. I'm in verse 17 now. Both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And so this reminds me of human beings, mere mortal men trying to come against a supernatural being that was possessing people, these evil spirits, which when the Bible says evil spirits is speaking of angelic spirits, because the Bible says in Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits. Well, in this case, these angels are doing the bidding of Satan. These are fallen angels who are, and they are known as demonic spirits or evil spirits. They are doing the work of Satan, and they are in these people, and they were trying to perform an exorcism on this person. And as a result of them trying to do this, and they were doing it in their own strength, and they tried to invoke the name of Jesus. The problem is, these men were not in relationship with Jesus Christ to invoke his name. And they were not submitted to Christ, and therefore the result was humiliation and defeat. And when you are not in Christ and you try to invoke the name of Jesus into something, there is no power or authority behind it, because you are not in Christ. You are not abiding in the Son of God. You are not living the life that is in Christ, and you are living your own thing, but you may have heard about Jesus. Maybe you say, well, I want to invoke the name of the Jesus that Pastor Danny preaches. And you know what's going to happen when you try to do that? You're going to end up like these men who were beaten naked and thrown out of this house when you come against an evil spirit in a name that you have no relationship with, that you have no koinonia with, that you have no communion with. You have no fellowship with Christ, and therefore to invoke his name, that doesn't make any sense. Now, can there be exceptions to the rule? Yeah, anything can happen. I mean, if God wants to allow someone to be to use his name and drive out a demon, well, praise God. But that's not the rule. You ought to have a relationship with God. And from that relationship, that's where the authority and the power flows. Without knowing Christ, you have no power. You have no strength. You're just a mere man. See, the power and authority we have comes from a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. This is the abiding principle Jesus taught his disciples. I mean, you remember what Jesus said in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. You see, Jesus saying, if you abide in him and abide in his word and you abide in him, you can ask. In this moment, in that moment where you're confronted by evil and you're in the presence of evil spirits, you can confront in the power and authority that Jesus gives us. Why? Because you're abiding in him. You are in Christ. You're not in your own self and you're not in your flesh. You're doing things in the Spirit. You're living a life in step with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus told his disciples that it was better that he goes or else the helper would not come. And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't live the Christian life. Do you know that? You don't have any power to live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit living in you. You will continually fail. You will have no power against the enemy confronting you in your thought life, in your mind. You'll have no authority without the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you and his power coming upon you so that you can do the ministry that he's called you to do. And you think of ministry only what I'm doing or a prophet or evangelist, an apostle. No, the ministry that God calls us to, we are called to make disciples. And remember, in the Great Commission, the Bible says that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go. And therefore, if all authority in heaven and on earth are in Christ, then therefore, when he tells you who are in him to go, all the authority of heaven is with you. You see, you're not alone. The power and presence of the Lord is with those who are in him, those who have relationship with him. And guess what? When you have relationship, you have a seal in you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit. You see, I want you to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a familiar passage to many of us. And maybe to you, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing it. And that's good too. Acts 1:8. I want you to look at this. This was Acts 1:8. This is where Jesus had told the disciples, they were asking him about when will the kingdom of God come and when was he coming back and when was he going to set up his kingdom? And Jesus said, hey, listen, it's not for you to know these things, but you're going to receive. Look at verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, we need not only to be indwelled with the Spirit, to be born again, but we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need him to come upon us so that we can be the witnesses of Christ. And witnesses declare, witnesses stand in the midst of all kinds of things going on in the world, in the culture. They testify to Jesus Christ. They testify of the good news, even in the midst of a world that has gone crazy. We can stand on his word. Why? Because we have been not only indwelled by the Spirit, but we have the Spirit has come upon us in power. And that word power is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. It's a power that is supernatural that only God gives his people. And you know, I find, unfortunately, today, like in the Bible times, we there are believers who do not even know there is another baptism. They don't even understand that there is another baptism, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand this. They've been baptized in water, but that's it. They have no other understanding that they need to be clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. And this is for all believers. This isn't just for the Pentecostal or charismatic or whatever you want to label people. This is for all believers to be empowered by the Spirit in order to be witnesses to God and to Christ. We're to be able to take his message wherever we go, and we need his power to do it. That dunamis power, that dynamite power in our lives, we need it. And God wants to give that to you. And it's just like anything else. It's by faith. It is by grace through faith, not of your own. You see, when we come and we believe what God says about the Holy Spirit, God gives us. They had to believe. They went to the upper room. Y'all know the day of Pentecost. And if you don't, go read it. Go read Acts chapter 2, and you're going to find out when the Spirit came upon the disciples and all who were in that upper room. You see, it wasn't just for an elite few. The power of the Holy Spirit to come upon the church. Everyone who names the name of Christ can be baptized with the Holy Spirit's power. And the reason is for this, so that we can be his witnesses. But you can't be a witness on your own. You need a witness. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to testify against and to stand against your enemy. You got to understand you're in a spiritual battle. See, we need to receive supernatural power from the Holy Spirit to defeat demonic spirits and spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. You see, we, again, as we've been, I've been talking about, we don't have in our own strength the ability to fight off these demonic spirits. We need the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. And the power and authority that Jesus gives us is through the Holy Spirit, who is now with us. And he's going to be with us forever. He's with us, he's in us, and he's empowering us to do what he's called us to do. Let's look at Acts 19. I want you to see these believers real quick. Acts 19, this is interesting because we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, right? We're looking at this. And this is Paul in Ephesus talking to some Christians there. I want you to see this. Kind of interesting. Let's look at verses 1 through 6 of Acts 19. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. There were about 12 men in all, verse 7. So you see here, they were, these were believers. They had been baptized by John. They had believed on Jesus, but they had not received the power and presence of the Holy Spirit like Paul was describing to them. And we see, man, dynamite happens when that happens. There's something that takes place when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You might speak in tongues. You might prophesy. You might do something that is supernatural. It's not natural. It's not what you naturally would do because it's not about you. It's about him. And what happens, a lot of Christians, even because of bad teaching in the charismatic side or Pentecostal side or whatever you want to call it, they see some weird things going on and they go like, I think that's wrong. And I don't think that's of today. I think that's ended. But God has given us the Holy Spirit for every one of us. It doesn't matter. Just trust him by faith and he'll do it just like he did for them. They had to believe. They didn't know. They were not aware. And many of you, God doesn't want you to be ignorant about the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. God does not want you or me as Christians to be ignorant of it. He wants us to pursue spiritual gifts. He wants us to do that. Why? Because those gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we can edify the church and that we can carry out the will of God on the earth. And we need the Holy Spirit's power. And so again, some Christians are living that way, and that's why they don't have the strength to defeat those spiritual forces around them. But God, through his Spirit, will do that. Let's go on now for the next few minutes that I have here. We're going to look at putting on the full armor of God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we've been. And I want to focus on a verse there. Because a lot of people skip through that and they forget something concerning putting on this armor. So we need to abide in Christ. We need to be in him because the power comes from him. And once you are clothed with power, the Bible tells once we're clothed with power from the Holy Spirit, we need to put on the full armor of God. Once we have submitted ourselves to the Lord, once we have come into relationship with Christ and we have received the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, now we put on the full armor of God. Why? Because those who go into a battle, must have armor to protect themselves from injury so that they continue to fight in the battle. I mean, what soldier goes to fight in a war without armor, without the ability to protect themselves? And that is exactly what God has given us. We have weapons that are mighty through God, and these weapons help us in the battle. And the armor is mainly, we have an offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. We're going to look at it. But the rest of the armor is protection for you, to protect the warrior, to protect you in the fight. Though, again, God has given us an armor to protect us in the spiritual warfare that we're in. You need to remember that. You're not out there hanging out. God isn't leaving you hanging out to dry in this battle. God has given you something for that. And he says, put on the full armor of God. Putting it on will help you stand your ground. I want us to look at this again. It says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And verse 12, again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And when I look at this, I want us to understand, as we get ready to put on this armor, this is giving us the ability to stand against the schemes of the devil, against the onslaught of Satan that is going to come your way and in our world. You're able to stand when everyone else is falling, when 10,000 are falling from your right side or left. God is with you, and God is helping you, and God's power is upon you so that you can carry on His will, so you can carry on His command to make disciples in this world. You know, I was thinking about when I was doing a study before in the armor of God. I thought about when I was reading this talking about stand firm and be able to withstand and stand against these things were jumping out of me in these couple verses. Stand against, withstand, stand firm. And I thought about stand your ground. Stand your ground laws, which is this pertaining to self-defense. Basically, stand your ground laws, sometimes called the line in the sand or no duty to retreat law, provides that people may use deadly force when they reasonably believe it to be necessary to defend against a threat of death, serious bodily harm, kidnapping, rape, or in some jurisdiction, robbery, or some other serious crime, right of self-defense. Under such a law, people have no duty to retreat before using deadly force in self-defense, so long as they are in a place where they are lawfully present. Stand your ground laws cannot be invoked by someone who is the initial aggressor or who is otherwise engaged in criminal activity. Think about that. As Christians, we're able to stand because we're on the side of God. We're able to withstand. We're able to stand our ground and defend ourselves against the enemy's attacks because we are under his authority. We're not the aggressor. He is aggressively coming to kill you, to kill, steal, and destroy, as Jesus said. And we are standing and we are attacking because we are not going to allow the enemy to come and destroy us, because that's his goal. And we are standing firm in the Lord in the middle of the fight. We need to defend ourselves from the schemes and attacks of the devil, and we need to put on the armor of God. We need to put it on. This armor is important. I want to start with the first piece of the armor. I want you to look with me in verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Having fastened on the belt of truth. In biblical times, men and women wore tunics, which were long-robed. Whenever they were going to run, they would roll up their tunics, fasten it and with their belt in order to not be impeded from movement. As believers, it's important to know the truth so that you can stand against the enemy's lies. How many of you know Jesus told us that when Satan speaks, his native language is a lie. He is the father of lies. There is no truth in Satan. And as we're in this battle in this month of June, where the enemy has taken it and influenced many people to celebrate a lifestyle that is offensive to God, they begin to live this kind of life out in the public, and people are parading. We saw in California in one of the state houses, they were celebrating, I guess it was a trans person I don't know. It was the person was dressed very, very strange, to say the least. And you can tell the demonic spiritual influence where people change. They try to change reality. They reject it. They reject it all together. They say, I don't care what God made me. I reject God's order. I reject what God has to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they've placed, and they don't realize Satan wants them to think like he did. I will be God. I will be like the Most High God. They want to transcend God. And as a result, the Bible says, pride comes before the fall. And those who live in pride and want to say, I reject what God has placed me, has made me to be, they are basically rejecting God. And when you as a Christian are in this battle and the enemy comes because you have a family member, maybe someone close to you who is in this lifestyle, that you begin to compromise the truth of God's word, you need to stand and put on the belt buckle of truth. That way you know what is true and you can discern between a lie and the truth. And you can stand your ground. And God wants you and me to stand our ground and to be able to defend ourselves. And we've got to put on the armor. We put on the belt of truth. We must walk in the truth in order not to be impeded from moving toward the mission God has given us. You've got to walk in the truth, God's word. Jesus said of himself that he is the truth. Remember, he said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Jesus declaring himself to be the truth. Jesus tells us that the Word of God, can somebody say amen? The Word of God is truth. John 17:17, your Word is truth. God's Word is truth. And we need the belt of truth. That's going to help us from being entangled with lies and deception, the webs of Satan's lies. We're going to be able to run without being impeded. We're going to be able to move swiftly and quickly to where God has us to go in this battle. You see, those who are born again have received, here we go, the Holy Spirit once again. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. I want you to see this with me. John 14:15-17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth is in the believer. And that when we put on the belt of truth, we're able to discern because we have the Spirit of truth living in us. Chapter 16, I want you to see verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Man, what a privilege we have as believers that we will have the Spirit of truth. Today, I'm going to end right here. I'm going to end with the belt buckle of truth fastened around your waist so that you're able to fight and you're able to walk in the Spirit. You're able to put on this armor. We're starting with this belt, and we're going to continue next week talking about the breastplate of righteousness. I want to go into that a little bit. But man, if you've been listening to this and you came across this, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're hearing some things that maybe you're a part of. Maybe you're in that lifestyle that they're celebrating this month. And you need to understand, as I mentioned in that picture, if you put the word Pride Month together, you find in the middle of it the word demon. And I want you to know that those who are in this world apart from Christ, they're under the influence of Satan, the devil. And he is doing his bidding in their lives, and they are doing his bidding. They're being influenced by him, even though you may have not realized it. But my prayer today is through this message that you realize that God is speaking to your heart. He's removed the veil, and you can see clearly that, man, I have been deceived by the deceiver, Satan. And I want to turn my life to Christ. I want to repent. I want to turn away from that sin. And I want to do what pleases God now. Man, can I tell you the good news is that Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is calling you today. If you'll repent and turn from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as your Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you'll be saved. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are. You can call on his name and he'll save you. He'll deliver you and wash you clean. And he'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, as we've been talking about, the indwelling of the Spirit. And then you can ask him, God, empower me to be a witness for you. And God will do that in your life so that you can live out in obedience to him. And he wants to do that.